All right, so we're almost done with Perek Yud Aleph in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. We're going to finish up a few last halachas today, and the Rambam's going to, which he often does at the end of some sections, a little commentary on the primary issue taking place here. So the Rambam says in Halacha Yudalid, which we are familiar with, Asur lishol bal ov bal yidoni shenemar lo yimatzevecha ma'avir. So we know we're not allowed to ask or inquire from someone who does ov yidoni. If you recall, those are the cases where he projects voices through certain foreign objects, etc. Vishol ov nimseis lomeid shabal ov yidoni atzma beskila. Right. So we know that the halacha that we learn from the Torah that anyone who is a bal ov bal yidoni gets skila. Vanishal bahen ba'azara. Right, and asking them, there's a iser, umachanus so makas mardus, and you get the rabbanu makas, v'mkiva ma'asav asa kavim ma'amran loke. But if you go ahead and act upon the advice of a baal ov, okay, you know, again, your actions are dictated by what the baal ov suggests that you do, then you're chayiv makas midaraisa. Okay, that's again, this is also kind of almost in a sense of review, because we know already the issue of baal ov baal yidoni. In Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam now adds, HaMechashev, okay? So we know, the Torah says, Mechashevah lo sichayeh. A sorcerer, okay, is chay b'skila. But when, in what situation? V'hu she'asa ma'isek shafim, okay? It's only if they engage in these types of actions, these sorcery-type actions. Avah ha'ochez esaynayim, v'hu she'yireh she'asa, v'hu lo'asa, lo kemakas mardus. Okay, interesting. But if it's sleight of hand, okay, let's say it's he makes it. It's like he's a magician, so to speak. Let's say he acts in a way where he doesn't actually do or attempt to perform the sorcery. It's like what do you call it? Like a magic trick, right? He gets makas margus. V'nei shalav zesh and emar mechashev bichla lo yimetzav v'cha, right? V'lav shi'itin l'asaras misas bezin hu ve'ein lokin l'lav shenemar mechashev lo sichayeh. Okay. But the key point is that there's a difference between someone who is an actual performing sorcery versus someone who just does it as a sleight of hand. Okay, so now comes the Rambam now in Halacha Tezayin reflects a bit on this whole, the whole theme of this parak. He says, Udvar ma'ilu, kulon divrei sheker v'chasavein. So all these things that he's spoken about, nichush and chover, all these things, they're all lies and foolishness, right? V'heim, Shehitu b'hen ov dechachalim hagadmonim legoyer ratzos kadeshin hago achrayim. So remember, he points back to in the history of idolatry that all this was done, okay, by idolaters to influence over non-believers, meaning to convince non-believers to join their side, so to speak, to follow their ways. So they would use these tools as a method to rope them in. Vain royal Yisrael, but this is, it's amazing what he says here, and it's not appropriate for Bnei Yisrael. Why? Shehem chachamim michukamim lahem shech b'havalim elu, right? V'lo lahalos alev sheish to elos b'hem. Basically, what he's saying is that you'd have to be an idiot to believe that any of these things are true. And Bnei Yisrael, we're chachamim, we're wise people. So, meaning that it's only the foolish, right? Only someone who's foolish would ever think there's any truth to all the things he's been discussing in this parak. Okay, so whether astrology or any of these things, again, his main point, and that's the key thing here. It's not necessarily that the things themselves are avodah zarah, but they're just stupidity, right? And since they're so dumb, how could it be that Bnei Yisrael engage in it, right? Shenemar kilo nachash b'yakov lo kasem b'Yisrael, as Bilam says. Shenemar ki egoy me'ila shatay v'ashosam el me'onim v'kos v'mishmo v'atah lochein. God says it openly that this is what the non-Jews do. Kol ma'amin v'var me'ilu chiyotze mehen u'mechashe b'libo shein emes v'dabar chachma, right? Aval haTorah asrasan enon ela min asichlim mechasri adas. Now this is important. If anyone believes that these things, okay, have truth, but the Torah just came along and said they're usser, they're also foolish. So again, it's not just enough, and I think that's the key thing here, and it also gets into the overall approach the Rambam always uses. But what's important to emphasize is that the Rambam saying that it's not enough. In other words, let's say a person, even if a person said to himself, you know what? There's truth to Nichush. It's true when, what do you call it, a fortune teller, right? It just happens to be the Torah doesn't want us to engage in it, all right? It wants to forbid it. That is foolishness, okay? And that's from people who, as you would put it, have undeveloped intellects. And now he says, V'chlal ha'nashim v'akatanim she'in daitin shlema, which again references a certain outlook the in that period of time they had about women, that both women and children are they haven't developed their intellects aren't developed, right? So the two points he's making so far is number one, actually the main point he's making is that the essence of these areas is the fact that they're foolishness, right? And the key is not believing in their truth. It's not so much to say that of course they're usur in the Torah, but it's almost like he's saying the Torah is prohibiting, so to speak, right? Acting in a stupid way, right? I mean, literally, that's what he's saying. To act in an idiotic way is ultimately what was the source of this prohibition, okay? Yeah. To respond to that, I would say like this. In other words, there's a fine line. There's no question, and it's funny you mentioned the story of, let's say, of the SNET. It's interesting, because if you look at Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu initially, so God says to him, go present a philosophical argument to Bnei Yisrael. And he says, that's not going to work, right? Meaning they needed some type of osam ophes, right? And the Rambam doesn't say there's no need for osam ophes. Rather, there's a normative insecurity that people have. And just to rely on someone to have the wherewithal to say, I intellectually accept something as being true, especially when it comes to like a belief in God, that's not so easy to do. You know, even today, in a very secular age, you'd be surprised how many atheists, so to speak, are superstitious, okay? But at the same time, there's also a certain gullibility that people have, right? So the tension here is, on the one hand, there's a certain natural insecurity the average person has, right? And there are instances where the Torah, in a sense, plays on that insecurity to assist us to get the right path. But there's also the idea of being gullible, which is that you know, think about it. Like, if a fortune teller got something true, people are very impressed by it. We're very impressed by coincidences. We're hardwired to be impressed by them. You know what I mean? So that's what we always have to be careful about. And what the Rambam is really gearing us towards is to recognize that the source of these areas is really sourced in to believe in these areas is to be stupid, is to lack in chokhmah. Okay? But I 100% agree. There are instances where, of course, a person, what I call, would have to recognize that there's a value. You know what I mean? Okay, so he ends up by saying, Ava bale chokhmah, Utmime hadas, okay, yedu barayos bruos, okay. So anyone who's wise, right, will know clearly with clear proof. Shekol eil dvarim shasra Torah inam devei chachma elatov aheba shinim shukah behen chasrei das v'nashu kol darchem es beglama. So anyone who studies these areas will realize the reason why the Torah answered them, right? There's no chachma in them. There's stupidity, right? They're just nonsense. Umneze amar Torah kashi yizira al kol eilu havam tamim tia imashem kacha. And that's why tamim tiyeh, that's the key point, that a person, again, the Rambam is not even saying from a security standpoint. The Rambam is saying a person should recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all chachmah, and all these other areas are simply steeped in stupidity. So it's interesting that in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in talking about both Chukas Akum and these specific types of actions, it's interesting how I call these on the outer sphere, right, like the outer orbit of Avodah Zarah. Because in and of themselves, like, it's not that Nichush itself is the Mice of Avodah Zarah. And of course, Avodah Zarah is stupidity too, okay? But the difference is that whereas Avodah Zarah, the nature of the corruption is like an intrinsic one, this one, it is a problem because we are Am Chacham and Avon, but it doesn't have the same degree. So it fits a very interesting position in the pantheon of what Avodah Zarah is, okay? And it's a very strong statement. Just as an aside, certainly today, right, and in a more we consider ourselves more enlightened, which has its downsides, by the way. You could see why. Like, if a friend of yours went to a fortune teller, you'd say that's stupidity. I'm not sure, and I don't care if it's a spiritual leader or not. The fact is that I think most of us would say this kind of activity is really stupidity. So I don't think that's changed. I don't think that's changed in that regard. Okay. Okay. Now comes the last parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Again, a couple last things he has to take up. And then what's very interesting, he segues into a larger axiomatic principle in the Torah that has nothing to do with Hilchos Avodah Zarah in this parak as well, which we'll get to in a couple halachas, okay? First thing he's going to talk about is, we're all familiar with, which are peos, okay? Not long, curly peos, but just the idea of peot, which is the corners, right, of your head and face, okay? And the Gemara, the Torah breaks him, or the Gemara learns out from it, breaks it down into there's two issues. Okay, one issue is the let's say head issues. Okay, meaning cutting off the peyot of your head, and the other one is going to be the peyot of your face. Okay, so a lot of this is certainly familiar to men with the prohibition of not using a razor to be very careful, not using a razor, using a blade. To be clear, it's only on near the peyot, okay? Meaning it's not that there's a prohibition to put a blade anywhere on your face. It's just certain spots you cannot shave with a blade, okay? So he says, "Ema galchen paase harosh kemosha yosin of the chachavim." So there's a prohibition, right, to cut our hair or cut our peyos off in a way like the of the chachavim did, like dollars did. Shenemra lo sakifu paase roshchem. V'chayev hakol peyav ha-peyav. That's a very interesting quirk in the halachic system, which comes from the Gemara, is that there's a separate chiv on each peah. So you don't look at the peahs as a unit, meaning if somebody cut off, or you had cut off one of the two, maybe what you would say is, okay, well, I'm only a half means nothing. No. They're each one is its own entity, or own unit, so to speak. So lefika, chamegalech, shneitz ta'adav, afilu vasachas, v'hasra'achas, lo kishnayim. So again, a fascinating thing in halacha, if you cut off both peahs, right, with one maisa and one hasra, meaning one action, okay, and one warning, you still get two malkus because there's two separate, in a sense, even though it seems like one action, it's halacha registers it as two, okay? Fascinating Gemara, by the way, to go through if anyone's interested in it. Echad megaleach hapeos bavad, umeniach seara kolarosh, vechad megaleach kolarosh ke'echad, loke ho v'gilach hapeos. It doesn't matter how you got to that conclusion, okay? Meaning, it doesn't matter if you just cut off the peos and let the rest of your hair, or you shaved off all your hair and then ended up cutting off the peos. Either way, you're a chayiv malkus. But medvar mor and beisha megalech. Okay, that's only if you are the cutter. Aval isha miskalech, ein aloka el imkain siel megalech. Another fascinating idea. So the person getting the haircut, he only gets malkus if he moved his head in a way to assist the barber in cutting off the peos. Okay. So if I'm sitting in the chair, it's important. I mean, actually, alach lemaisa. If you're sitting in a barber shop. And the person, let's say you forgot to warn them about cutting off your payas, and they happen to cut them off, you weren't necessarily misa'eah for that. Misa'eah means that you tip your head in a way to help them cut off the payas. The megaleach has a katan loke, right? And you see it even applies to the isser, even applies to someone underneath the age of our mitzvah to doing it to them, okay? Now, halacha beis is pretty self-evident. Ha'isha shegalcha pa'asro sha'ish, okay? This is, we're in deraisa here, okay? A woman who cuts off the payas of a man, Oshin is galcha, or has her payas cut off, petura. Shenemra lo sakifa pa'as roshchem, v'lo sashchis pa'as zikanecha. Okay? So the Torah combines together cutting your hair with cutting your beard. Okay? And, kol sheyeshno b'bal tashchis, yeshno b'bal takif. V'isha sheyeno b'bal tashchis, l'fisha en lo zakin, en b'bal takif. So you can't apply, so since these halachas are linked, beard and hair, and women don't have beards, therefore, there's no issue if they cut off their payas. Okay, lefikach ha'avadim hol v'yishlehem zaken asura asurim ba'kafa. Okay, so the key point here is that as long as there's as long as you have as long as you're a woman, so then since you're a woman, you can avoid the issue of a problem cutting off your payas. But now he takes this idea and a fascinating concept, and he actually gets into these universal concepts of mitzvahs in general. Halacha gimel. He says, "Kol mitzvos lo sase shebetorah." Okay, and this comes from the Mishnah. But he says, "All mitzvos, all yisurim in the Torah, echad anashim vechad nashim, chayovin." Okay, but it's important to know again, since you see by the prohibition of cutting peyos off by hair, that women are excluded from it. Okay, but now he stops and wants to tell us, don't think that's like an exception. Meaning, in yisurim in general, we don't differentiate between men and women. Right? Chutz yibal tashas bal takif v'vayitame lekon lemesim. The only exceptions we make are cutting payas of hair and beard and becoming and for a kohen being tamei by mace. But then, of course, he brings in a famous one: the whole mitzvah sasei shehi mizman lizman. That's mitzvah sasei shezman grama. Okay, veina tadira. Right. So any mitzvah that is time bound or zman is really gorim and is not common. Nashim peturos, nashim apater from chutz mekiddush hayom v'achilas matzah b'lal pesach. The achilas pesach u'shchitaso, the hakel, the simcha, shenashim chayavos. So these include a kiddush, matzah, The Achilles Korban Pesach, Hakel, which is also Ketana Merchayvin. Simcha means the Korban Simcha here, okay? The Rambam uniquely held that women are Chayvin Korban Simcha. All these situations, women are Chayvin, okay? So, okay. And then he says, Tumtum Madrogatus. Now, again, for those who like abstract conceptual Gemara, Tumtum and Androgynous are always fun cases, okay? Tumtum means a person where we can't distinguish what sexual traits they have, so from a genital standpoint, so we're unsure whether they're a man or a woman. An androgynous is someone who has both sets of genitalia, okay? Those two cases pop up constantly. I mean, we'll see them in various Rambams going ahead, but constantly in halakha cases of how we look at them. Are they chayiv in mitzvos? Can they be motzi other people, etc.? So in this case, in general, how do we look at them? We say harehein suffik. So they're defined, right, as suffik. Therefore, nosin alav chomrei ish v'chomrei isha v'chol makom v'chayav v'chol v'im avru einam lokim. So the halakha never has a mechanism to really ultimately define what either of these people are. Do they fit into the category of man or woman? Therefore, what do we say? We say they're besafek, and we're machmer, both chumra ish and chumra isha, whenever we can, okay? And, of course, but if they're over an iser, they don't get malchus. So they're stuck, so to speak, in this interesting halachic netherworld, where they are chayev, right? But the nature of their chiyev is really in the scope of chumra, and not like a natural chiyev, because there's no mechanism to really, there's no mechanism to say naturally whether they fit into underneath being a male or a female, okay? So those two halachas there, those are overarching principles that exist by mitzvos in general that he's bringing up here because of the exception that takes place by a woman in cutting off her payas, okay? Okay, now back to cutting hair. Yes, sure, okay? Afa pi she'isha muteres legalech pas rosha, hari asur legalech pas rosha ish, okay? But 1 second, he said before that a woman is allowed to, she's allowed to cut her own hair, right? And he did say before that she is allowed to cut a man, that she wouldn't be chayev if she cuts a man's hair. So most learn, this is an isser derabanan. So even though this is, the Rambam was actually talking about a rabbinical isser, meaning a woman, even though technically speaking she's removed both from being subject to the isser of cutting her own hair and cutting other people's hair, there's an isser derabanan. Harihi asur legalech pas rosh ish. If you look at an asur la galeach lopeah, but that's not an isur deraisa, okay? I mean, the Rivet comments on this and other Rishonim. It's not an isur deraisa. So yes, so a woman, even though she is not included in the isur, right, in both cutting other people's hair and her own hair, nonetheless, the rabbanon come along and say it's asur for her to do. So that definitely addressed one of the questions you're asking. Now, upeah zu shemanichem bitzdaim, okay? I know this goes against what people sometimes the appearance of people today in certain. Streams of Judaism, he says the peya, right, that you have to keep on your side, lo nasuba chachamim shir, okay? So there's actually no shir given for how much hair I need at any one of these corners, okay? So it says, nonetheless, v'shamanu mizkanenu, which is a fascinating way to put it, by the way. The Rambam, it's only, I think, one of the only times he ever says this terminology. We heard from our elders, she'enu meniach pachos me'arbaim saros. So they said in general, what's the shear that you should leave by one of the payos? About 40 hairs worth, okay? Interesting, okay? So it's interesting to see that it's unclear, right? Or technically speaking, there is no technical deraisa shear for how much hair you need in the area. A guy could have like 3-4 hairs and be technically say he has a payah. So they say, it's interesting how he puts it. It doesn't say that this is a fixed amount. It's saying, in general, they felt that don't do less than 40 hairs, okay? Umutr lucky to pay us misraim, lo nesar elash chasas patar. That's the other point he didn't make. Now he's making now. Of course, you can cut your pay us with scissors, right? That's not the isser. The isser is only using a blade, okay? So remember, it's a straight blade, that's the isser, not scissors, okay? Now, we're going to get into beard right now, and then I'll make one comment about electric shavers, which I did a couple years ago, in Kashmir. And Allah Chazayin, he says, Derech kahonei ovdei kohabim, hayulahashkas ganam. So the priests, right, the idolatrous priests, would cut off entirely their beards. Lefikach asra Torah lahashkas azakin. So that's why the Torah comes along and asers us, prohibits us from cutting off our beards, okay? Now, again, note the terminology. I didn't mention this before, but note, lahashkas. Lahashkas actually technically means destroy, okay? It's a subtle difference, but it's important. Okay, because it's not that I can't use a blade on any part of my face. It's that I can't destroy, so to speak, the beard. Okay? So what gives the beard its form? The chamesh peyos yeshbo. Okay? It's the five corners. So as long as the five corners are intact, right, I can say there is a zakin to speak of. Right? And so what are they? Yeshbo lechi alyon, lechi atachton, miyamin, v'chem yismol, v'shibol sazakin. So you have basically, you have above the lip, below the lip, left and right, the upper lip, lower lip, you have the sides of the face by the jaw, the lower, the corner back of the jaw, and then shibol sazakin is by the chin area. Okay? So those are the five peyos. Some actually want to say the corners of the mouth, it's a machlokas, but the simple way to learn is that you have by the upper part of the jawbone, by the back of the jawbone, that's four, and then the shibola sazakin, which is the chin, okay? Viloka al kol peya vepeya. Think about that. Each one that you cut off with a blade, each one, whether it's by the upper jaw, lower jaw, each one, you're chayiv malkusam. You get malkus five times. Veino chayiv ad shiyagachin ebitar. Shenemar lo velos hashchisis be'asganecha giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa. That's from the Gemara's terminology. Giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa means that, what does it mean to use a blade? A blade means I'm doing an act of shaving that is destructive, which would seem to imply that what's it doing? It's cutting off the hair in its entirety. Okay? Lefikachim galach zakano misrayim putter. But that's why if you cut off with scissors, you're putter. Now, putter also, unclear, does he mean putter legamre? Or does he mean putter midoraisa? Okay? Which is a huge nafkamina in using a norelko. But you see from the tone of what he's saying, that when you use an electric shaver, okay, what he's saying is that the question is an electric shaver misparayim because it's not actually a blade? Or would you say, no, it's a giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa? Because it's true in the old days, misparayim didn't get that close to your face. But today, when you have these shavers, right, if you really think about it, what's the actual practical nafkamina between between the hashchasa from a blade and the hashchasa from an electric razor? You know, I know the older razors didn't get that close, okay? But the razors today, I mean, think about it, it's pretty like, it's pretty giluach sheyesh bo hashchasa. So, I don't want to wade too deep into this issue, but I think I mentioned a couple years ago, I can appreciate why there are people who are vehemently opposed to using electric razors, and the reason why is because you're dealing with the deraisa here, meaning err on the side of caution. Right, if there's a question, buy electric razors. You don't. But the Rav Soloveitchik famously said that you could treat electric razor like misparayim, and therefore it's not considered a hashkasa. Okay, ve'ena miskalech lo ka'achi yisaya, and the person getting their beard shaved, it doesn't get makos until they assist in getting it done. V'isha muteras hashkis kana imish laseir b'zakein. A woman can shave her beard if she happens to have one. V'mishlisla zakein aish petura, and if she shaves off in its entirety the beard of a man, that you'd actually be pater from. Okay? Okay. Let's do one more. Yeah. So we'll do this one more. So the Rambam then says, Lachaches, Hasafa, which is the mustache. Okay? So remember, some Rishonim hold you can't shave your mustache. They hold the corners and the mustache are a problem. But the Rambam doesn't hold that way. So mustache is Mutar L'galcha Batar. So you could take a blade, okay, and shave off your mustache. So you could take a shik, okay, or Gillette, and you can literally just shave off your mustache on your face. And when I was younger, I always thought taking a blade to your face is like taboo. It was like a taboo to me. Like, I never would consider it. But you see, it's mutter. 100%. V'hu ha-seya sha'al gav ha-saf al-yona v'chein ha-sar ha-medulda min ha-saf ha-tachtonos. That's the hair above your lip and that little area right below your lip. V'alfa pishu hu mutter, even though it's permitted, lo nagul Yisrael la-hashliso. Interesting. For some reason, the custom was that the Jews didn't do this. Ele galech tzatzo ha-shaliyake v'achil ha-shasiya. But they trim it to make sure, because if it was getting into food, right? So if your mustache got in the way, and I'm not sure what to call this area underneath the lower lip, but if that hair got in the way of you eating or drinking, then they would trim it, okay? But they didn't cut it off all the way. Now, of course, there's a lot of speculation. The simple reason it's going to say is that, in other words, it's the old play it safe kind of thing. If we're already not going to, deal with shaving around the sides of your face, leave the mustache as well, all right? But it doesn't seem like that's a halachic chiyuv. It seems pretty clear that halachically speaking, there's no reason, a person couldn't take a blade and shave off their mustache. Okay? All right, let's stop here and we'll continue this tomorrow.